This is part one of a John Trudell dialogue that happened last Saturday, September 22nd. And this happened on the Barrios Unidos property in Santa Cruz County, California. I, your radio host, Coral Reef, was there to witness this.
The beginning and the end.
And there's a lot of laughter as people introduce themselves. We'll start outright with John as soon as this subsides, so as not to, get too much.
Well, it's a lot of distance to cover here, our territory. But I operate, really, energy. I operate from the premise that everything is about energy, everything. And I spent a lifetime, or it seems like a lifetime, but I spent a long time active, political activist, and then I walked away from that because it didn't make sense to me anymore. When I look at politics, when I had the identity of a political activist, because that was the first idea. Once I was on my own, that's the first identity I took, was political activist. And I spent 10 years doing that. And then when that came to an end for me, I had to examine the reality of all that, and I realized, well, this, as a Native person, this doesn't really work. Because when I had that identity of a political activist, everything's about energy. So when I had that identity of a political activist, I was putting all my energy in identifying as a political activist. When that became my identity, then that means I could only see as a political activist. I forgot who I was. I'm a human being, and I think that it's important that we all remember that's who we are. That's who we are. We are human beings. Political activism may be something that I do, or a plumber may be something that I do, but I'm none of these things. I'm a human being, but I confuse the things that I do for my identity as to who I was, and I was blind. Because I could only see in this very narrow perspective. It's just a different version of being a tea partier, right? It's just here. This is how you see it. And the other thing I learned from that experience for me was when I looked at for what we were doing as political activists, it was like, hold it. We're trying to get our liberation, so to speak, or our freedom through political activism, but they're not our politics. So we're using somebody else's definition and rules all the way down the line. So no matter what we do, they got us, because it's not our politics. And what I mean by not our politics, it's like every political organization I've ever been involved in, but I walked away a long time ago, so I can't speak for now. But every political organization I was ever involved in, number one, they develop an ego, they become mm-hmm. territorial, mm-hmm. and they're competitive. They're not cooperative. Mm-hmm. Politics is not cooperative, it's competitive. I saw too many times of unity, and all in the end, to me, all that unity meant was, it's still in the end, those are the most aggressive who are going to get their way, right? That was unity. That's the unity I experienced. I don't know what goes on now, right? But the unity I experienced was, in the end, they were just... In the end, and so when I look back at those things, I saw how all our energy was being put into things. And our energy was being put into either illusion or unbalanced, keep things that were ideology that was keeping us unbalanced. As a movement, as individuals, it was keeping us unbalanced. And if we're in a system that's designed, everything's about energy. We're in a system that is designed to absorb and consume energy. That's what the system is designed to do. All right, whether we're plugging in our iPhone to iCharge it, or we're buying gas for our car, all right, or we're buying GMO food, everything is designed to consume energy. And energy, See, I think that energy, the source of our energy, is the being part of human. And that's why I think, to me, it's important that no matter what level, whoever we're working with, it's getting, trying to reawaken this memory of being a human being. That's our primary identity. Race and gender, all the rest of that are secondary identities. We're human beings first, and then the gender, and then the race, all of the rest of this becomes... Mm-hmm. And then there's a... Gender and race are secondary identities, and then you get these other sub-identities that go on to it, our politics or our religions or our whatever, then all these little sub-identities. So it's almost like we're human beings, and then the human, and with these sub-identities, the emphasis is being put on the human part rather than on the being part, the source of the energy. How many times have you said or heard people say, I'm only human? If I'm only human, then I'm not recognizing who I am. I'm not recognizing my potential. You know, my perceptions, all right? I think, and like energy, and we're in a system that's designed to consume energy. So to me, it's like, well, hold it. Then if we want to get anywhere, then we have to find a way to be able to use our energy so the system can't consume it. Mm-hmm. The same way that it consumes it now. It's like a way of, and for us as individually, for us as individuals, the being part of human, that's the energy source, the being part. Because when we got no more being, we go back to the earth. That's just, you know, that's, we call it death or whatever somebody wants to call it. But when the being is gone, then the human can't function. So obviously the energy source for us in the human being is in the being. And the human is the wiring, so to speak, right? That carries the electric of the being. So the being. So as humans, how we manifest the power of being is through our intelligence. This is the converter. This is what takes the being part, the energy of the being, all right, and our intelligence. So how we perceive reality says how we will use our intelligence to manifest the energy of our being. So if we're not perceiving reality as human beings, we're perceiving it from the sub-identity, the secondary identity by race or gender, right, then we're not accessing the energy. See, so if we're not using the energy properly, if we don't understand who we are and we don't recognize and understand who we are, then we're not going to use the energy properly. All right, then in a way we've been imprinted by society to misuse energy. Am I making sense? Mm-hmm. So all right, so to me it becomes an issue, and I don't think it's about a revolutionary solution. I think it's about an evolutionary solution. Mm-hmm. All right, evolution. It's like I saw this woman made this sign, but she took revolution and she separated the R. All right, moved it away, and it says our evolution. See, and that's what it's about. Our evolution. We are in an evolutionary reality. We're a part of an evolutionary reality. We're a part of a revolutionary reality, but that's the sub reality. Mm-hmm. We revolve around the sun or whatever all that's about. But that's a part. That's a sub part of the main part, which is evolution. Mm-hmm. Am I making mm-hmm. all right? Mm-hmm. Evolution. All right, so. So we are connected to an evolutionary reality. We generate our power and our energy through how we perceive reality through our intelligence. And I think that no matter what situation, if we're dealing with incarcerated, it doesn't matter who we're dealing with. I think we need to start thinking in terms of the basic thing of recognizing who we are. Human beings. That our power comes from the being part. We manifest that power through how we perceive reality. Because too many times we've been imprinted to believe that money will get us power. All right? That weapons will give us power. All right? Or that religion will give us power. But in reality, these things, if you get money, that may give you access to authority. Right? If you use weapons, that gives you access to authority. Religion can maybe give you access to authority, But authority isn't power. Authority actually, in a lot of ways, is the absence of power. Mm-hmm. They need to have authority because they don't really have power. Mm-hmm. I mean, because when you go back to indigenous, the tribal and indigenous systems, there were not authoritarian images or figures. All right? I mean, there was authority, but it was in a different way. It was the way that the people lived. So it was a consciousness. It wasn't an imposed. You had the police coming and beating you up stuff. Okay? And I think so. Part of it has to do with us recognizing who we are on the energy, because I think that we've used, in my experience, we were trying to find political solutions, or economic solutions, or whatever the solutions were that we were trying to find. But we weren't approaching it purely from the point of energy. How do we use our energy to get a solution that we want? Right? And we never really approached it that way. And I think for now, in our generation, as to who we are in our generation, I look back at this, and I think that one of the most helpful things that our generation can do is go to the next generation and say, hey, look, this is where we fucked up. Mm-hmm. See, I don't see enough of that. I don't see enough of it. Yeah. What I see going on is, hey, we did this. This is how we did it. We stood up for all this and that. But, you know, but when we really look at it pragmatically and objectively, what we stood up for, all right, it was the other side just buying time. So they threw us some crumbs so they could buy time. And their authoritarian state is more vicious and more well-entrenched now than it was, all right, when we were going. Yeah. I mean, this is the reality of it. Mm-hmm. You know, so we did all of that stuff. Like, I watched this Occupy movement, mm-hmm. right? And I saw people from our generation coming out and rah-rahing them on, saying, yeah, right, you know, I'm glad to see it. And I think, well, hold it. This is like an ego trip. Hmm. You know, we're not willing to talk about mistakes realistically. We're going to encourage the next generation to make the same mistakes that we made. All right, maybe the terminology changes and things and the technology, but basically the energy, because they're putting their energy in the same way we did it. All right, and so that didn't really work. Now, So part of it is, as human beings, we're in an energy. As human beings, we're in a technologic, industrial, perceptual reality, and it's a mining reality. It mines energy, right? It mines the energy of the trees, it mines the energy of the earth, it mines energy, the water, the uranium, the oil, it mines energy. Now remember, we are units of energy. Every human, the being part is the energy unit. So we are units of energy. We live in a perceptual reality. Our bone, flesh, and blood, our DNA is made up of the metals, minerals, and liquids of the earth. We are shapes of the earth. We have being. Our being comes from our relationship to the sun, sky, universe, where the energy comes from. That's all right. We have it. All things of the earth, a tree, uranium, fossil fuel, whatever it is made up of the same DNA as us. All right, and it has the same relationship to sun, sky, universe, so it has being. It gets its energy from there. All right, see, so that's what all my relations is about. Now we're aware that they mine the uranium, they mine the fossils, they mine all of that for energy. But in order for there to be a need for those other things, they have to mine us. See, we don't understand. We don't think in terms. They're mining the being part of human. All right, and then they're mining the being part of human. All right, to distort our perception, and when you mine all the rest of the things, whether it's the trees, whether you mine the oil, you mine the uranium, the mining process leaves behind poison and toxic that are dangerous to the environment. When they mine the being part of human, it leaves behind poison and toxic, and the poison and toxic are the fears and the doubts and the insecurities. All right, they become a part of our human perception, because we no longer recognize that we're human beings. So they become a part of the human perception. They're not a part of the being human perception. They're a part of the human perception. So that mining process takes place by how we're indoctrinated to perceive reality through the class system, through the educational systems, through all the authoritarian systems. All right, that's how they do the mining. But it leaves behind the poison and toxic in our consciousness, which the fears, doubts, and insecurities. And then once that's put in there, then we perceive reality not not through our abilities. We perceive reality from the perception of our inabilities. Am I good enough? Through our fears, our doubts, and our insecurities. And then we find, the way the system works, but in order to compensate for that, they introduce us to pride. So that they indoctrinate us, as they mind us, they indoctrinate us that to replace humility with pride. All right? They indoctrinate us to replace a sense of well-being with fear and doubt of self. Now, in our generation's self-esteem, I don't remember ever hearing the word, but by the next generation, low self-esteem, that's the big... All right. And so anyway, to use that terminology, we're imprinted to perceive reality that there's something wrong with us. So after that, once that takes place, no matter how good our intentions are, whatever we get involved in, all right, that's a part of the energy we're projecting, that there's something wrong with us. You know, and we may hide it with our mask and our angers and our fears and stuff, but in the end, that seems to be the core, fear, all right, seems to be the core motivator. So that's what distorts our perception of reality. We're in a system designed to consume energy. All right, so how do we find, to me, it becomes a matter of how do we find a way to not feed our energy to it? We're in a system that has imprinted us that this civil disobedience, protest, all right, these are the ways, all right, to get your rights. All right, but hold it. If these were really the ways to get our rights, then they wouldn't have told us about it. All right, I'm telling you, I guarantee you, because these fuckers are like that. All right, they wouldn't have told us this if it would really get us there. All right, now let's go back and terminology. I think we should be very careful with the word believe. All right, and think. Believe, because all of the mining process, imprinting, to get us to perceive reality differently, all right? Everything they did to us, they did it to get us to believe their perception of reality. Mm-hmm. It was genocide, you know, it's class systems, everything, all right, is to get us to believe. And yet, you know, so I want to kind of explore that word a bit. And so to believe, everything's about energy. When we think, we project electromagnetic energy. That thought is electromagnetic energy being put out into the universe. All right? So we're projecting energy all of the time. We're projecting energy. Now, thinking represents energy that flows. It's going to go do in an evolutionary context. Believing represents energy that has been dammed up. It can't flow anymore because all belief, all right, has its biases, its prejudice, it's not objective. All right. See, so we have been imprinted. All right. Number one, to have low self-esteem, there's something wrong with us. All right. And we've been imprinted to believe that. We didn't think it up. And no matter inside of your own self, every negative image you have, you didn't think it up. I guarantee we didn't think it up. Somebody put it there repeatedly until we believed it, and then it became a part of our perceptional reality. So every time that. So we're conditioned to believe, all right? And so what believing does is it takes that energy, the energy of thinking, the electromagnetic energy of thinking that's supposed to flow, and it dams it up and puts it in a container. But it's energy. It has to do something. It can't just be, right? It's energy. So what does it do? It intensifies behind the belief, and the basic core belief in almost every individual is that there's something wrong with me. I'm not good enough. So this dammed up energy is going to come out through that. It's going through the stress, all right, which creates and produces emotional reactions, and in emotional reactions, we're not going to think clearly. Have you ever had an emotional meltdown? Or, all right, and then go back and say, I wish.
So I have a question regarding that. So when you're talking about belief in that sense, are we also including like our belief system, like when we're raised up with
that belief
values?
Well, see, this is what I'm saying. We have to be careful with the word because because I don't know if we had belief systems. Quite frankly, they told us we did. I think we had systems of knowledge. We knew this. We knew these things. I mean, I think that more of it was knowledge than it was belief.
We knew that if we lived this way, all right, this was going to be what was going to happen. And then they come along later and say it was a belief.
Okay.
All right? I mean, I think this. I mean, this is all speculation on my mind. I mean, you know.
The other thing I was just thinking while you're talking about that is that dammed up energy, I'm thinking of its link to how it becomes commodified. Because what do you do with the energy? I mean, how are they living off of it would be my next question. So they've got to live off that dammed up energy, so they've got to sell you whatever it is to keep it dammed up or to keep it channeled in whatever direction it is, right?
Yeah, no, this is why we overconsume.
Mm-hmm.
All right, because we're trying to fill a hole inside of us. So that's, I mean, see, it's
say we need something.
Yeah, I mean, see, like in this country, up in the late early 1900s, once they'd figured out mass production. All right. Once they'd figured out mass production, at that time, the average American, they would go when they went to the store, they would get what they needed, and that was it. So, but now, hold on. We got mass production. We can make Model Ts 1,000 a day or whatever it is, right? But we can do all this and that. So, but here's how the Americans are doing. So they brought in Freud's nephew, and oh, yeah. Freud's nephew did this big analysis and came up with this big program on how to manipulate the mass psychology so that they would go and buy what they wanted. But first they had to create the want. See, and the technology was emerging with the radio, with the newspaper, all right, and the and promotion and advertising and the new products coming out. See, once they were making it in abundance. So they started the manipulation of the mass psychology, all right, to turn people into consuming what they wanted way beyond what they needed. All right, and so yes, so because as a net result of this, when we're very confused. I mean, our intentions are good. See, energy. Our intentions are good. Our motives are good, generally. Well, anyway, here's what I think. You know, did you ever? If there was a bad result, and someone said, "Well, that wasn't my intention." See, well then, all right. Well then, what I think there's a synchronicity. I think there's motive and intention and understanding and then action. And I think when those four things are synchronized, then you're not going to have a bad result. But too many times, I know people that have good intentions, but their motives I would question. All right? Or you can reverse it, right? You know, but too many times, so I think it's a certain... But see, all of this comes back to our ability to think. See, when we think things out, and we start to see these kinds of things. See, because I think, for, especially like to young people, to me, like around the issue of drugs. If it was me, I would tell them, all right, yet about how dangerous drugs are, but I would not include marijuana. Because they know that's a lie. It's a lie. Just from this end. Marijuana is not a drug. The earth does not grow drugs. This is just a logical, physical reality. The earth does not grow drugs. Somebody makes drugs out of what the earth grows. See, and you know, it's such a basic reality. All right, and maybe intuitively, right? I think it's a herb, it's a plant, it's a medicine. And I think, speaking to them, you know, about you, especially with around the cultural thing, it's a medicine. So you use it as a medicine, right? But if you take any medicine and you misuse it, it's not going to work for you.
That's right.
Right? But if we go around telling them that marijuana is a drug, right, and they realize, you know, hold it, they see a whole different trip on it, then they're going to get into the drug stuff. This is what leads them in. All right. I don't think that marijuana is a gateway drug. I think the misperception about marijuana that we pass on to them is the gateway. You know, and I'm not advocating one way or the other. I'm just saying if we're going to talk with them, right? And I think helping young people to understand that they are human beings and the value, how much power they have. All right. I mean, if we're going to talk about power. And because most young people are that, they feel powerless. That's why a lot of this to deal with situations. But if we want to talk about power, and this, I don't think this is just for young people, I think this is for all of us, is that, have you ever had a situation where you're feeling powerless about life, whatever it is, And while you're feeling powerless, how bad can you make yourself feel? And then how does that affect the people you're closest to or you interact with? That's power. All right? That's power. But it's power unrecognized. All right? And how is that power manifested? Through a negative self-image or things that we were told that weren't correct that we believe. All right? But my point being is it represents intelligence used incoherently and chaotically. All right? And we generate that, and we generate energy. So imagine if we took the responsibility to use our intelligence with clarity and coherency, we would generate an entirely different kind of energy. Because remember, we project electromagnetic energy. All right? So, and it's like we're trying to create a solution to a problem. And this is why I think that a lot of the active movements, the movements, they did what they did, but we didn't really achieve what we were after. But one of the reasons I think that happened was because, number one, we emotionally reacted to what we believed. We didn't think things out. All right? I think that had a lot to do with it, as to why we didn't get our objectives met, right? And what was the other thing? But so how we use the energy of our thinking, the electromagnetic energy. Yeah, all right. So if I'm projecting, if in my core of me that there's something not right with me, all right, then no matter what I do, I'm going to bring some of that back because it's electromagnetic. I'm going to attract the magnetic aspect of it if I think there's something not right with me. If we have a problem, and for any problem, because everything's about energy, the energy we take to put in to creating the solution for that problem, that energy is going to be in the solution. So if what we're doing is if we're going to create a solution for the problem, but we have this term low self-esteem, so to speak, all right? If our fears are masked by our prides and our other stuff, we'll see, but all that stuff's in there, then that stuff's going to go into the solution. So if we're making emotional reactionary, using our energy in an emotionally reactive way, all right, because we, out of desperation to create a solution, no matter what solution there is, that energy is going to be in it. That's how they've been doing this all this time, because we have been imprinted to be emotionally reactive. We've been imprinted to be judgmental. So to be careful with the believe thing, all right? Because every time we say I believe, that means we're not thinking. Yeah. We're just shutting it off, all right? And that's reality. But that energy's got to go somewhere, right? So it'll come out in some other kind of a way, right? And the other thing is judgment. I think it's our responsibility to think and not to believe. I think it's our responsibility to recognize and not to judge. Because if we judge, we can't recognize. Because all judgments have their biases and their limitations. But if we recognize, then we can see what really happened. If we recognize, we'll make it personal about judgment. Somebody told us a lot of stuff when we were young, all right, to give us this low self-esteem thing, so to speak. All right, somebody put all that in us when we were young and we believed it. All right, and then we've judged ourselves because of those negative beliefs. We've judged ourselves. All right, but if we took the time to look back and recognize how it happened, then we would see we didn't ask for it. Not a one of us ever asked, all right, to be judged or traumatized with judgment when we were young. Not a one of us asked for the trauma, all right, that made us start believing the negatives. But see, if we would go back and look at it from recognizing, then we start to become more clear and coherent in our thinking. All right, because I think that for me, so. When I'm saying this thing about it's designed to we're in a system designed to absorb energy, then part of it, I think we need to start thinking in terms of how do we deny it, that energy. Like, I mean, I'm going to just go the most basic way, is to think and not believe. To truly be humble and not prideful. Because, see, they put all that in us, see, because a pride, you know, because pride, I spent a lot of years as an activist, Indian and proud, or whatever that was all about. And if I could go back and undo that little one, I would. Right? because I've seen pride get in the way. I've seen it get in the way more than I've seen it help. Mm-hmm. If you want, I mean, when things, real things need to be done. If it's all superficial stuff, yeah, well, then all right, it's all good, rah-rah. But when you get right down to the stuff needing to be done, it's pride gets in the way almost every time. You know, and they started indoctrinating us with that as Native people. When they started slaughtering, I say, "Well, the noble red man, they were proud and they fought valiantly." No, it wasn't what it was. All right, they were trying to kill us, and we fought. All right, we fought to save our lives. Pride didn't have anything to do with it. It didn't have anything to do with it. It was the humility of us knowing who we are as the children of Earth and what our responsibility to the Earth was. That's what really made us tick as to who we were. But now I hear the word humility used a lot, but I see pride practiced. I mean, pretty much, you know, and it's like looking at the, and for us, it's about looking at these things, you know, let's look at reality the best that we can, right, and sort out what makes sense to us, but to just do things the way that we did it, to encourage the next generation to do things just exactly the way we did it in our generation, I think it's wrong. It's ethically wrong if we're going to get down to it. And if we're going to be real to who we are, all right, the other thing I think is that if we're going to look at, let's say, spiritual realities, all right, because I know we all have our own interpretation and understanding of a spiritual connection. I do not understand how we can truly show spiritual respect to anything, however you look at the Creator. I do not understand how we can show true spiritual respect if we don't like ourselves. Mm-hmm. Plain and simply put. All right?
Yep.
Because, remember, energy that you put into a solution is going to be in the solution. All right? See, so we're quite out of synchronization. Right? I don't understand. And then how we're going to show respect to our Creator, the spirituality of our Creator, if we don't use our intelligence respectfully. But that goes again about liking ourselves and respecting ourselves, right? And so there's certain things that I think really need to be kind of looked at. Like a lot of Native or younger people, that, you know, because they're so overwhelmed by stuff going on, you know, we forgot what tradition is. Mm-hmm. See, and we think we lost our tradition. It took our traditions away. But no, tradition is honor and respect. That is traditionalism. All right? That is what traditionalism is. They can attack our ceremonies. They can attack all of our stuff. But that doesn't take away our tradition per se. Am I this making... Right? Sense. You know, I mean, see, so... But see, it's because there's a lot of illusion in mind... Mind-bending has been going on in how we've been imprinted. But to me, so, because I really don't have a real answer how we address to solving the problem specifically with the young, but I do think that if we talk to them just straight up, right, just straight up, that we would talk to anybody else, we talk to them straight up, and help them to understand about who they are and their relationship to power. You know, the real power that they have. I think that, you know, I think asking, you know, whatever it is, and they don't have to tell us, they don't have to spill their guts to us, but think about whatever it is that first set the trauma in your head. What is it the first time somebody told you you were no good? First time somebody said whatever, but said those kinds of things to you. You know, think about it. You know? Yeah, that's something somebody said until you believed it. It isn't, that doesn't mean it's true. You know, I think, I think in those kinds of ways that it was... Because my whole technique or thing about it is, and it doesn't matter about age, is I just say as many things as I can that make sense to me, and then it may, and if I throw enough things out there, I know somebody will think about something. All right? I use that shotgun approach. Here, say it all as much as you can. All right? And then whatever makes sense, because different things make sense to different individuals. My objective is to stimulate thinking. It's to stimulate thinking, because that's what I see is the about energy. All right, that is the ultimate thing that I see that's going to help us to change anything. Because see, we've been imprinted to fight them, and we're never going to outfight them. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen in our lifetime. It's not going to happen in our great grandchildren's lifetime. It's never going to happen. We're never ever going to outfight them. But they want us to believe that we have a chance. right, out fighting them, you know. Right? But in reality, is what the one. What do they fear? If they fear anything, it's our ability to think. Yeah. See, we can outthink them. Mm-hmm. See, but they don't want us to understand that because that changes the numbers. See, because you live under an authoritarian system, all right? In the authoritarian system, only X amount have permission to think. Mm-hmm. See, only X amount of them have permission to think. Then everybody else got to follow the chain of command, all right? But so, and you look at the authority in America right now, just hypothetics, but like there are close to 300 million people in this country. Even if they're using 100 million of them to suppress the other 200 million, they were still the majority. Now, if that majority was thinking clear with clarity and coherency, all right, then the dynamic would change. I mean, this is an extreme thing, but if everyone woke up tomorrow morning and said, I will not enable anything I know to be a lie, the energy dynamic would change immediately. The system couldn't function. I mean, it's an extreme hypothetical, right? But the reality is, I will no longer enable the lie. And I think that it's important for us to adopt that as a mindset for ourselves. You know, because, you know, and when I mean no longer enable the lie, here's a lie that we shouldn't enable, that there's something wrong with us, that we're not good enough. See, we shouldn't, we're enabling those lies. You know, so, you know, and I think that on an individual basis, So to me, don't make prideful decisions. You know what I mean? Make clear and coherent decisions about whatever it is. And, you know, and it's hard to not have an emotional reaction sometimes, you know. I mean, it's really hard. So I'm not saying don't have an emotional reaction. I'm just saying don't make an emotional decision.
That's the end of part one of John Trudell's dialogue that happened last week.